somebody has lost her keys or his keys, they're here in the house of the Lord. They're safe. I bless the Lord. Parents, let's continue proclaiming good things upon our children. These things will take a physical manifestation, and we will see the things that the Lord will do in the lives of these children. Because behold, we have known the power of the tongue. We will continue to speak great things in their lives, and the Lord will surely manifest them. Now that we know we have a place and a position in Christ Jesus, we are honored this morning to have the ministry of the word. And I'm so grateful because our pastor is in the house, and it is in good time as we continue in the series. Get your notebooks ready. Get your Bibles ready. Put your belts on. We are about to take off. Amen. And with those words, I want to welcome Pastor Tony. He has new notebooks today. I will help you, Pastor, because we have a prefect in the house. We want to ensure that you bring your notebooks because this is for your good as you do the notes. You study them within the week and you continue to elaborate on them so that they can build you and build your faith. And so that you can draw from those resources even to teach your children and teach the people that we are working with. There is so much need for the word of God in this place that we are not going to rest and we are not going to stop. In Jesus' name, welcome, Pastor Tony.
Thank you so much, the worship team, Julius, Israel, Catherine, Sister Lorraine, Nathan, Esther, for bringing us a wonderful worship. Amen. I've been ministered to. Praise the Lord. Every Sunday, I look forward to coming into the house of God so that we can corporately lift up the name of the Lord together. Amen. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that we have brothers and sisters who are dedicated just to come and make sure that, you know, we are in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we thank you. Thank you so much for your dedication. And thank you so much for your commitment. Amen. Praise be to God. How many people came with their Bibles? Can I see your Bibles? Okay, lift up your notebooks. How many people came with their notebooks? Okay, how many people don't have their notebooks? Okay, I promised to get you some. But you have to answer one question. Okay, lift up your hands if you didn't get a notebook. Where's the other microphone? Let me use this. You can mute this one here. Praise the Lord, that's better. Okay, Junie, you're going through your notes. Okay, did you say that you didn't have a notebook? Oh, you bypassing? Okay, I'll pass you. Okay, but you have to answer one question. What did you learn last Sunday? Just tell me one thing that you learned last Sunday real quick. Oh, my goodness. Is that what I say? Can you help on our behalf? We have this program on the radio. Sometimes they call people to answer questions on behalf of others. Can you? Yeah. Yeah, please help her. Amen. Moving forward. Amen. How about that? Okay, which one do you just choose your color? The grace of the Lord is sufficient. I'll have to give you anyway. And you too? You have a notebook. Okay, Carol, what did you learn last Sunday? Were you here last Sunday? Tell us what you learned last Sunday. Doesn't have. Tony, tell us what you learned last Sunday. It's Mama Sheila. How are you? Huh?
Moving from a place called here.
Pastor Karanja, you need to hear what he said. What did we say?
Moving from a place called here. A place called there.
How do you do that? That's what we are talking about. How do you do that? What's the means of getting there? Anyway, you are listening, Tony. The grace of the Lord is sufficient. Yes, Kimodo, can you tell me what you learned last Sunday? Oh, the Sunday that you are here, whenever you are here. Thank you. Yes, Wanganga, you have a notebook? Okay. This is exactly what I don't want. Next Sunday, don't come with something like this. This is not a notebook. It's a paper, and it can get lost, yeah? And writing on envelopes. Church envelopes. Okay, remind me one thing you learned. Amen. That's what exactly she's announcing. You want me to give you one, man? Okay, you gotta tell us what you heard. Okay, the last time you came, what did you hear? You know, every preacher is gonna stand on this pulpit will say, "Trust the Lord," anyway. Okay, somebody else doesn't have? You have? Anybody? Yes. Solomon, tell me what you learned last Sunday. Yes, thank you. Yep. Somebody else doesn't have? This is the last one? Huh? You want to change? Charity has. I think I gave her last time. Did I not give you? Oh, still? Yeah? You can keep that one because she has a notebook. Okay, praise the Lord. It's just good to have fun in the house of God. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we are complicated and we try to complicate things. But you know, how many of you know that church is just coming together, brothers and sisters, and having fun in the presence of the Lord? And I enjoy it. I enjoy it because, you know, we are brothers and sisters. Let us put aside anything that would beset us, anything that would separate us. In fact, the Bible tells us that unity is the bonds. Unity is the ingredient, love is the ingredient that brings people together. We are united because we love one another. Amen? And I can do anything for you. Mamuruti, I thank you. Mamuruti, if I tell you what Mamuruti one day did for me, you won't even believe. I was sick. I will never forget, Mom. Even if you don't want me to tell the people, I was sick. And she, let me tell you, they came constantly every single day for 1 week. For 1 week, every day, to nurse on my wound. You know, and they are busy people. Everyone here is busy. But she would come even from work. She would be tired and nurse my wound. I will never forget that. The love that you showed. You know, we got to love one another because we are members of one body. Praise be to God. We've been talking about moving forward. Somebody say moving forward. And if you can remember that we talked about extending our tents, that's kind of like our theme this year. Prepare the place of your tents. Expand your tents. We have to move. God has called us to be progressive people. Amen? I don't think God just called us to just know him. If God just called us to know him, then salvation would never have any meaning. But I believe that God called us to know him and to be progressive in our day-to-day lives. Praise be to God. God expects us even to learn his word. God expects us to be a blessing to each other. God expects us to move things here on earth. The purposes of God have to be accomplished here on earth. And God is not going to use any angels. He can if he wants to. But God will not use any angels. God would use an ordinary man like you and me. Praise be to God. And many times we look down on ourselves and we think, oh, you know what? I do not qualify to serve God in this and that area. But I'm here to put it across to you, brothers and sisters, that no matter where you come from, no matter the color of your skin, no matter who you are, no matter your background, no matter who your parents were, no matter what village you came from in your country, as long as you have come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you qualify to move mountains. Praise be to God. Mama Sheila, I don't even know where you come from. I just met you on Sunday, but I can see the fire and the vibrance of the Lord within you. Let me tell you, you can speak to a mountain and tell it to move from this place to another, to that place, if only you believe. Praise be to God. So what we are speaking about here is moving forward. And the Bible says in the book of John that, you know, this is my prayer. John prayed a prayer and said, I desire that even as your soul prosper, that you may prosper, even as your soul prospers. So there is an opportunity for us to, for the soul to prosper. And we have been checking on some things, a few things that entail the ingredients of what we need to do in order for us to move forward. And if you can remember, we went through into the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. That was kind of like our main text, Philippians, chapter number 3. from verse number 8 to 16. And we saw that there will have to be an intentional decision made within our hearts to pursue the knowledge of God, to pursue an intimacy that is so close, that is so rich, when somebody who may not know us looks at us, they can see that we have been in the presence of the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You'll be so amazed that God wants us to come into a place whereby we are so intimate with Him, and the moment we become so intimate with Him, the Lord will begin to reveal who we are. I was amazed when I was reading the book of Isaiah that when King Uzziah died, the Bible says that he did what? Come on, Bible readers. When King Uzziah died, is Isaiah so what? He saw the Lord. And you know what the Bible says? That he saw the Lord lifted up. He saw the Lord exalted. And he saw the train of his robe filling the glory, his temple. And the Bible says, after he saw the visionary and after he saw the Lord, the Bible says, alas, I'm a man of unclean lips. What happened? I believe Isaiah was a prophet in his day. And he used to prophesy, he used to speak the words of the Lord, praise be to God. But I believe that God was bringing him into a new season. Now that the impotence, now that the handle, now that the thing that would prevent him to serving God Father, because God, when God looks at us, he wants us to be progressive. It is not enough for you to just to be a pastor. It's not enough for you just to be a prophet. It's not just enough. God has called us to prosper and to be progressive in the call that he has called us into. Praise be to God. And so when he calls Isaiah, when he looked at Isaiah and the things that he wanted him to accomplish, God saw a new season. And when he saw a new season, the only thing that he had to do to Isaiah was to bring him close to him, is to show him himself unto Isaiah. I believe that God had the capability of even talking to the son of Isaiah was the son of who? Come on, can you read the first, I think it's the first chapter of Isaiah. God had the ability of speaking to Isaiah and to tell him, hey, you know what? I'm ushering you into a new season. But what God did was to reveal his imagery, was to reveal his glory to Isaiah. Come on, people. After God revealed himself to Isaiah, then whoever he was began to reveal himself unto him. In other words, Isaiah, after he saw the Lord, he just realized, the Bible says, Isaiah said, alas. In other words, he was in a shock. Wow. That's what we say today. Wow. Or geez. You know, have you ever heard people say, geez? You know, when you're surprised, geez, this has happened. I wasn't aware. In other words, Isaiah said, alas, I'm a man of unclean lips. But yet he was a prophet. Yet he was a man mightily used of God. This is exactly what happens when we intimately, when our relationship with God is consummated, we are revealed. You know, the Lord is able to reveal who we are. Praise be to God. And after Isaiah came to the Lord and he was revealed, some things were revealed unto him who he was. He said, alas, geez, wow, I thought I was a prophet. I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord, help me. Because the Lord wanted to use Isaiah in the new season that he was ushering him unto. Praise be to the Lord. And so he needed somebody who needed him to move in another level of intimacy with the Lord. In this level, in this season that I'm just about to usher you, you cannot get there with unclean lips. And so I have to do something. And the Lord sent out and patched his mouth. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I am so excited because you know what? Long time ago when I grew up, when I knew the Lord, I was really excited about meeting the men of God. And by the way, I know I might be stepping on some of you, and listen to me. I was going to every single meeting out here. You know, Bonke is here, or another prominent minister is here, another man of God is there, and I would, no sooner had I attended that meeting, I would go to another meeting, and I would go to another meeting, and I think my intention was to see the man. But you know what? I come to realize that it is not about my eloquence. It's not even how I may know the word of God. But how is my character? How is that word affecting me? I need to see the fruit. Praise be to God. You know, knowing you is not enough. I need to stay with you a little bit longer so I can see what you're made of. In times of tribulation, in times of trial, how are you going to be handled when trial comes? Praise be to God. And many times, reactionally, as human beings, we want to retrogress and we want to run away from tribulations and trials. We want to run away from things that will make our lives uncomfortable. But that is what makes a man of God. That is what makes a minister. That is what makes a priest, praise be to God. That when you're encountered with the trials and troubles, praise be to God, that we are so matured enough and we, you know, because we have had experiences and episodes with the Lord, then when we encounter a mountain, we are able to have a point of reference. And we're able to tell the Lord, oh, this mountain, it is just small because just a few days ago I encountered another mountain and the Lord was able to help me conquer it. Praise be to God. So nowadays I'm not excited about, you know, preachers or TV preachers who preach powerfully. And I'm not saying it is bad. But I want to see the fruits of the man, praise be to God. I love Rod Parsley. He preaches a powerful message, but I can back him with the fruits, my praise be to God. He is fleeing slaves in southern Sudan, praise be to God. That is the kind of man of God I want to associate myself, and I can sit down and listen to the man because I have seen him. I have had him for several years since I came to America, and I have seen the fruit of his labor. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. So we have to make an intentional decision within our minds to pursue the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. No matter how it's going to take. I don't expect all of us to wake up one morning and we are studying, you know, a chapter every day. I don't expect that we are going to wake up every morning and every one of us is spending 1 hour into the presence of God. But we can make a decision to begin somewhere. If you have not been praying, why not start with 5 minutes? If you have not been reading the Word of God, why don't you even start reading just a few verses every day? Praise be to the Lord. Because the Lord wants us to be progressive. Hallelujah. And Paul speaks and he says, I compare everything. I have lost everything. I compare everything else as nothing compared to what I have obtained. What did Paul obtain? He obtained a privilege of knowing God. And that is what we have, church. Listen, brothers and sisters, you and I, we have a privilege of knowing God. And that was not enough for Paul. He said, but I even having this knowledge, I feel that within me I've been called to progressively get deeper and in the knowledge of God and knowing what he is all about in my cause for serving him. Praise be to God. So knowing God is not enough. Knowing just coming to, okay, I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. That statement is good. Praise be to God. And we all have come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not enough. God wants us to be progressive. Because let me tell you, the more we can be progressive in the Lord and in the intimacy with the Lord. You know what the Bible says? In the Old Testament, the Bible says that, and so knew his wife and they begot. So it is not just the K-N-O-W thing. You know, is that a noun or a verb? Come on, help me, Carol. Why, Susie? Susie helps me to tell between a verb and a noun. I don't even know an adjective. Huh? But we don't know. I'm not talking about the K-N-O-W only. It's deeper than that. And so, such a person knew their wife and they begot a child. It is a consummation of a relationship. Praise be to God. When I am consumed with the Lord, when I have desire to get deeper into the Lord and to know exactly the blueprint of the purpose that he has for me and to know the function that he has called me to perform in the body of Christ, when you consummate that relationship, then the Lord will be able to reveal, he will cause a certain thing to happen so that it will reveal who I am. And I am telling you, when I get into that position, into that status of life where I know the Lord and I know him and I have determined, there's not going to be any room for malice. There's not going to be any room for slander. There's not going to be any room for discouragement. Even when it comes, the Lord will be your encouragement. There's going to be any room for feeling jealousy for one another. There's going to be any room for planning evil against each other. Just because you know the Lord too much. And because he has transformed you. He has transformed your mind. So that when you look at anything, you're looking at it in the light of his mind. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me, church? May the Lord help us so that we can make a decision. In order for us to move forward, we have to make an intentional decision to serve him and to pursue his knowledge and to pursue his wisdom. Praise be to God. Number two, can somebody remind me of what we learned? Empty religious performance is the greatest enemy to moving forward. We talked about that, and we talked about how the Lord was so wroth with the Pharisees. You know, he was so stunned at rebuking them because they desired to lord it over the people. They never practiced what they talked about. It will be empty religious performance to just come here and study the Word of God and get out of those doors, and we don't practice what we learn. Praise be to God. It will be really disastrous, seriously, my sisters and brothers, to come and talk about malice and to come and talk about slander, come and talk against it, and we have not even left those doors. We are still slandering each other. We are still throwing jabs at each other to kill each other. I mean, that will be empty religious practice. What is the reason then of studying the Word of God if we cannot at least practice what we learn here on a Sunday service? Praise be to God. It is therefore necessary, a call for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, to get the Word of God and to practice it. If somebody comes and tells you about somebody that your brother and sister, they did wrong, who is perfect anyway? Come on, church. It is only, even Jesus, somebody came and told the Lord, he told him, good teacher. And the Lord said, why are you calling me good? Only if a father is good. Amen? And we are getting to a place very, very soon when the Lord comes and picks up in that home, heavenly home in heaven, where everybody will be made perfect. Praise the Lord. So let us not kill each other. Let us not just demean each other. God has called us to, and then we're going to talk about this. God has called us to have a ministry of reconciliation. When you see somebody going down, it is your responsibility to stretch forth your hand and lift them up. Amen? Let us not kill each other. Church, when you hear a report about somebody, don't make it, don't exaggerate it. Don't even call somebody to pray about it. God has called you to pray. You can stand in the gap on the behalf of that person, on behalf of that family, on behalf of that child, on behalf of whoever, on behalf of that career that is giving, on behalf of that boss that is giving them problems. And let us pray and intercede. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? It will be empty religious practice, church, if every single morning you wake up and read even a chapter and we fail to practice it. We would never be any better than those Pharisees. Are you listening to me? And please, you have to love me when I'm speaking this, because I'm speaking to us and I'm speaking in really, really lots of love to all of us. When you wake up in the morning and the Lord leads you into the book of Psalms, whatever it is, practice that word. Practice it. You know, if it is your mouth that is giving you problems, the Bible says take a knife and cut it. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But you have an ability to shut up. Somebody say shut up. You have an ability to shut up. Shut up. You know, I'm talking about shutting up from spreading horizontal rumors. The Lord has called you to spread the rumor upwardly. Lord, I heard about this sister. Lord, I heard about this brother. Lord, please, can you help him? Because he is so significant in the body. The body will be dysfunctional if they don't arise, Lord. I cannot do without them because their ministry is a gift to me. Lord, I need them. Please, may you help them. May you lift them up, Lord. That is what God has called us to do in the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The reason why I'm saying this is because it came to my notice, you know, there is so much talk that goes around, you know, people trying to kill each other. Praise be to God. It has come to my notice. And I wondered, I asked God, then what am I supposed to do? We are preaching about this, against these things, about people killing each other. What is it that people don't know about loving one another and just holding other in highest esteem? The rule of thumb is, regard your brother as better than you. My brother, you're better than me. You're better than me because you have, and that's what you're supposed to say. Because you have capabilities that I don't have.
And I need those capabilities for my survival. You need the things that the Lord has instilled with me for your survival. We are dependent on each other. Hallelujah. Because you are members of one body. You might be the leg, then the body cannot do without the leg. I might be the hand. You need the hand in the morning. And I told y'all that what would happen if you wake up in the morning and you realize that somebody came and snatched both of your hands? First of all, you'd have a problem to wake up from your bed. I don't even know how you'd struggle, you know, to just manage to wake up. Or for instance, if you woke up in the morning and somebody came and cut your legs and you didn't have no legs. Okay, I'm talking about very big, big organs, even your index finger. Try it. Just go try somebody snatch your index finger. You're not going to go to work for a whole year or maybe months. First of all, you might be treated for depression because you'll be looking at your hands and you'll be seeing four instead of five. So somebody, you'll need a psychological help to help you cope with the four, because naturally you're supposed to have five. Every single organ, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, biologists call certain organs vestigial. You know, those organs that don't have a significant meaning, or they don't have a defined meaning within us, within the body. They call them vestigial organs. But in the body, we don't have any organ that doesn't have a purpose. Praise be to God. Your teeth, your tongue, your nose, your hairs that are within your nose, everything. Think about anything. It has a function. And it is necessary for the whole performance of that whole body. Are you with me? So empty religious performance is the greatest enemy to moving forward. You don't come to church because, you know, you want to come to meet so-and-so. You come to church because you owe your allegiance to the Lord. You are loyal to the King of Kings who created you and who called you into the most holy faith. And that's why every single morning at 9 in the at 8 you begin to prepare, because you want to go to the house of the Lord and join with other brothers and sisters in the worship of your Maker. Praise be to God. You need to have that hunger coming to the house of God and joining other brothers as we lift up our holy hands and blessing the name of the Lord. Amen. I was just telling somebody the other day, you know, that you know what? You don't have to give up in spite of the things that you've gone through, because the person who calls us into ministry is God himself. I've not called anybody here into ministry. No one called me. None of you called me into the ministry. The Lord called me into the ministry. When I get discouraged, I go to the one who called me to serve him. And I tell him, Lord, I don't understand about this. Please help me. And sooner or later, he comes and helps me out. We owe our allegiance to the Lord. Amen? Somebody say that. We owe our allegiance to the Lord. Yes, you serve. We come here because we respect him. We fear him. You know, we fear him. We fear him. In fact, the Bible says that when you come into the house of God, let people not have so many words, because he lives in heaven and we are down here on earth. The Bible actually takes, let me tell you, it's serious business. When we come into the Lord, you're not supposed to speak so many words before him, because that's what the Bible says. Just tell him, Lord, offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Offer the sacrifices of praise. And he says, be watchful of your words, because he lives in heaven and we are down here on earth. Praise be to God. We need to take seriously our walk with him, and he is going to help us. Number two, we talked about that. Empty religious performance is the greatest enemy to moving forward. Number four, we had our sister Noel came and talk to us about pain. You know, if we are to move forward, it is not going to be easy. Prepare the place of your tent. There's going to be involved work. Work. Amen? Work. We have to be prepared to work. For you to move from one place to another, if you want to move forward, you have to work. It is not going to be presented to us on a silver plate. I am telling you, you have to work for it. You have a dream to start a business. You have a dream to go to school. It will involve work, and it's going to be painful. That's what our sister told us. It is going to be painful. Conception is not hard. You can conceive an idea any time of day. But, you know, sustaining that vision, that conception, sustaining it until you birth it, it is a process. The mothers, I see mothers here who have given birth to children, you know. And sometimes we see, we have an opportunity as men to witness what they go through. Morning sicknesses, Sometimes a woman wakes up when she is with child, and maybe the limbs are swollen. She doesn't even want to see you sometimes. You know, she doesn't even want to eat certain foods. I remember like when my wife was pregnant, I think with my son, he wanted just a big Coca-Cola bottle. And I had to make sure there was a Coca-Cola supplied in the house every single day. I mean, there are certain things that are abnormal. Things that are abnormal. Sustaining that vision is not easy until the birth. Think of what you go through. And some of the men who have had an opportunity to witness, you know, as your wife labors to bring forth that gift, man. You just even wonder, man, how this is almost like beyond human comprehension what they go through. But that is how God designs it. Conceiving, God, the Holy Spirit can give you a conception of an idea. But it will take hard work for you to sustain that conception until it is birthed. Praise be to God. You know, there's going to be pain. Preparing the place of your tents involves work. And also expansion, it also requires work. Praise be to God. So be ready. It's not going to be easy. For us, when you start saying, okay, we are going to start doing this, we're going to start doing the other, we are going to request you to start being functional in the position that the Lord has put you in. What you're telling you, we need you to start working towards the goal and the function that the Lord has placed you in. For I can tell you, Sister Omboy, today you're a Sunday school teacher. You know, you're not just going to be a Sunday school. You have to go through the rigors of dealing with those children. Sometimes they're going to be naughty. Sometimes they're going to be unhandleable. Sometimes you want to feel like you want to throw up the towel. But you know, God has given you the call. I'm going to stay long no matter what. Because I know him that called me has called me with a purpose. And you're going to stay on and you're going to work hard and you're not going to give up. The pastor may not even appreciate you. Nobody may even be seeing what you're doing. Let me tell you, naturally we want to do something because we want to be appreciated. I mean, let me tell you, I talked to you last Sunday. That's the internal organs. Nobody sometimes thinks when you're walking, you don't even know that there are some internal organs that are working 24/7 for you to breathe. You know? Your kidneys are at work right now even as you're looking at me. They are cleaning your system. The liver, the pancreas, whatever it is providing insulin. Whatever it is, the internal, the heart is pumping up. Even when you're sleeping, think about the heart, man. The heart pumps blood every time. It doesn't say, oh, now, how long am I going to do this? Can you imagine if your heart decides to say that? Hey, how long since I was born I've been pumping blood for this guy? And never, nobody even comes to appreciate me. And today he says, no, let me see what you can do if I stop pumping blood. You'll be gone. You'll be history. We'll be organizing your funeral. Just because an organ failed to work. So what am I putting to you? It doesn't matter your age, and you're going to see here in a brief moment. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter who you are. You have a function in the body, praise be to God. And in order for you to move forward, you know, it's going to be involved in work. That's why a certain mama like Mrs. Mogo dedicates her time to teach the young people. And some things are happening within the lives of these young men. It needed somebody to arise and answer the call. If she didn't rise up, these young people that you see, they will not be well trained. And how many of us has the Lord called and we are still sitting on our chairs? You really, really hard in your sleep, the Lord telling you, I want you to do A, B, C in Empowerment Christian Center. But you have neglected that call. You know what, as a matter of fact, I'll give you a very short story. And I'm just giving you this story. I wanted to apply this story in a certain topic that I wanted to talk about. But I feel it befits this moment. A man was toiling on a piece of land, huh? With a young person. And one guy, there's this young man who came and asked this young man, hey, sir, I'd like you to show me, you know, a place where I can worship God and a place where I can completely learn about God and just get excited about him. Show me that city. And this man, as he was continuing to toil the land with his son, he pointed at a mountain on the top, on the eastern side of where they were, and there was a big city. He told him, you go to that city and you will find God there. You will find him, you will worship him, you can find the word of God there, and you can study, and you can really be vibrant for the Lord.
And then they continued walking. And no sooner, as they had given out this story, another young man came and asked this man that was toiling the land with his son, "Hey, sir, show me a place where I want really to really be sinful. I want to do drugs. I want to be involved in prostitutions. I want to be a nobody. I mean, I just want to have fun in the world and, you know, all kinds of. I want to be a slanderer. I want to be a lunatic. I want to be a crazy guy. I want to be involved with the kingdom of the devil." And the man showed him at the same direction. And he said, "Oh, you see that city? Oh, that city. There is all kinds of immorality. There's every slander. There's all the nightclubs you can, all the women prostitution rings are in that city." And the son, as they were digging, and as that young man disappeared, this son who was digging with his father asked the father, "Father, I don't understand why you told those two different men, and they had different ideologies and agendas. I don't know why you referred them to the same city." And the father said, "Whatever that you need to find at any one place, you can find. Praise be to God. This church may not be a mega church, but whatever you decide to look in this Empowerment Christian Center, you can find. If you want to be a holy person, if you want to serve God, and if you want heaven to recognize you, and you want you to please the heavenly host, so that when God thinks about using a person that you are among the people that he can think about, it is in here, and you can find it. If you want to find brotherly love, you know, in this church, you can find it. If you want to really be a man who really comes and he is eager to learn the word of the Lord and excited, and you want to serve the Lord with the whole of your heart and the whole of your mind, and you want to be focused, you can find it at Empowerment Christian Center. But guess what also? If you want to be a slanderer and find people who can slander with you, you can also find them in Empowerment Christian Center. If you want to be a busybody so that when you come, you just want to sit on that chair and do nothing, you can find it here. If you want just to come here and just don't care, you know, you just want don't care. I just want to go to church. You can find it here. Praise be to God. But we want to be the former. You want to be somebody who has heard from the Lord about clearly your call of ministry, because you have a function, Mutali. You have a function. You have a function. You have a function. Somebody say function. You have a function. You have something to do. The Lord may have called you to just come and organize drama, you know, like a drama club here in the church that will minister to the people through acting and through little plays and skits. And may the Lord spoke to you. You can find it here at the Empowerment Christian Center. Praise be to God. Choice. You're a Sunday school teacher. And you know what? If you want those kids to excel, you can find it here, because you can go study. You can do all that you want to do so that you can be the best teacher there is, Sunday school teacher, in the Empowerment Christian Center. Are you listening to me? And that challenges me. That, you know what, it doesn't matter where you are. David said, you know what, the Lord can even take me to hell, but the devils can have no power over you. Because it's not the geographical location where you are that determines what you can do for the Lord. You can even serve God in hell. Okay, I know I lost some of you. When I'm talking about hell, I'm not talking about the fire and brimstone. But you can serve God in the midst of tribulations. What are they doing in China? They don't allow the gospel in China. You've heard about Nicky Cruz and Warbrand, the guy who was ministering underground, under threat constantly, under threat. He was constantly under threat of murder every single day, but he was never stopped. He continued to tell those gangsters about Jesus. At some point, they held guns over him. But out of that episode, he got a ringleader who is called Nicky Cruz. And Nicky Cruz, man, you see Nicky Cruz today, he's evangelizing the world, speaking to the gangs within the inner cities. If he gave up, he served God even while in hell. He knew his purpose. His purpose was to completely understand his function and carry it forward. Amen?
Hallelujah. The work is not only for the ministers that God has called in this church. We are all, so I told you the other day, we have all been called to be ministers. Somebody tell your neighbor that I'm a minister. I'm a minister. Yes, you're a minister. You're a minister. We have been called to be ministers. And you know what? Ministry, let me tell you. Ministry is not just standing on this pulpit and preaching to you. This is not ministry. Did you understand that? Okay, I'm trying to really wrap some of the things that you know inherently from, you know, the church that you went to. You know, because you always thought, I always thought ministry was when the ministry, I have to be in full-time ministry. We are going to talk about this next Sunday. Ministry, you don't have to be in full-time to do ministry. Do you know what ministry is? Ministry is just putting a hand, a right hand of fellowship over a discouraged brother and telling them it is going to be okay. That is ministry. Praise be to God, Moriti. You told us this. Ministry is just going to go, oh, my brother, it's going to be okay. Let me tell you, in heaven, you are recognized in the same way as I'm ministering to you. Ministry is taking Charity when she is going through a very difficult time and standing with her in prayer and really praying with her. That is ministry. Church, listen, ministry is not just, you know, putting on a suit and coming with a tie and speaking and doing all the theatrical things here. That's not ministry. This is just a training ground. I'm speaking some words that can benefit you if you can take them and apply them. And I'm also in the listening, so if I can take those words and apply them, then I'll be in ministry. Are you listening to me? So you don't have to stand here to preach to us so that you know that you're carrying out a ministry. Ministry is calling out somebody. And I like the ministry of some of us here. You have not seen a brother in church for 2 weeks? Call them up. That is ministry. Find out how they are doing. It is not only the responsibility of Pastor Francis. He does so because you have delegated that responsibility to him, but you also have a responsibility. I've not seen Sister Wanja. I'm going to pick up this phone and find out how they are doing. Maybe the child is sick. Maybe the husband maybe is so busy. Maybe something has happened. I need to know because they are my brother. They are my sister. I need to know something so that I can talk to heaven about them. That is ministry. So tell somebody, I'm a minister. Did you know just telling somebody, just being with somebody and telling them, you know what, my sister, I have been there before and I'm going to do this. You're going to do this. For example, somebody maybe going through school, you know, and they went through struggle. I'm not talking to that because they're in school. And now you know you have a mother that had a master's. She can minister to you by saying, you know what, I've been there, daughter, so you can do it. That is ministry. That is ministry. Ministry is talking to our kids. You know the struggles that they are going through. Let me tell you, some of us, if we tell people what we used to do when we are young like them, we would run away. And yet we really castigate our young people. We want to put them down. We want to put our daughters down. Who are you when you are? Can we flash back? I wish we have a video. I'm going to call your mother. Maybe they took a picture of who you are when you are young. Huh? When your dad used to tell you, I don't want to find you going out with this man. And now that your daughter is moving out with that man, you want to kill her. You have just forgotten what you used to do. And the whoopings that you experience and you want to put them down? Come on, guys. Come on, think about it. We have to be reasonable. Let us be fair to our children. Pray for them. Encourage them. Are you listening to me? Let us encourage them. I know we go through, I'm a parent too. I want to see my son doing straight A's. I want my son to be the best of the best. But it's not going to happen unless we are in Pluto. Unless we are in Venus. Yes, but as long as we're in Mother Earth, it ain't going to happen. That's what they say. It ain't going to happen. So we got to pray and ask the Lord to lead and guide children. Our children, praise be to God. Don't think that our children or whoever they are or our spouses are, they have done it so bad. They are not the first ones to have done whatever they have done. Amen? This is part of life. Encourage somebody. Tell them it's going to be okay. You know? Yeah, and let me tell you, I'm having it the rough way because let me tell you, I was not just all smooth when I was young. My dad really whooped me several times because of doing wrong things. Yes. I received some whoopings on my back. My mother, who was here the other day, would be in jail if she used to live in the USA because she used to really beat us thoroughly. Huh? You know that, you know,
Back in, Juni, I know that you may not understand, but back in the day, they used to have the thing that connects, we call it moko. I don't know what you call moko in there. It's a rope, some leather rope, you know, very hardened. No, they never used nyahunyo, but if your mother used nyahunyo, that was bad. But my mother used to get that rope from the thing that used to carry things. And my mother used to lock the house. You know, we were little boys and we could not reach out to the panel. And let me tell you, we would receive a whooping. You'd be going 2 in the morning. You're feeling bumps all everywhere. Even on your face, you know, your nose, there are bumps where the whoopings ran across. Sure. So don't put down your children just because of me. Let's move forward. Moving forward. Number 4. We talked about last time, expect opposition. Opposition. You're going to be opposed. Paul says, I now press forward. And I showed you, you know, we used Julius, you know, press. You have to press. You cannot press against something, against a force that is without any power. But you press. You can only press because there's an opposing what? There's an opposing force. So for us to move forward, in order for us to do things for the Lord, we are going to be opposed by the enemy. The kingdom of the devil and his angels are not happy when we have made a decision to work out the function for which the Lord has called us in the body. Did you listen to me? There is an assault that is immediately released and organized against you when you decide to stay in your function. The moment you decide, I am going to be a Sunday school teacher. The moment you say, I am going to be coming to this house every Saturday evening to make sure that it is cleaned up and the dustbins are open, I'm going to be coming here every Friday to make sure that the restrooms are clean so that when the sons of God and the daughters of God come on Sunday, they can find a clean house. An assault is going to be mooted from the kingdom of the enemy. You're going to get discouragements. You're going to get assignments so that when you decide to come here on Friday, you receive a call for somebody to go buy you a Burger King. Expect opposition. Serving God, you have to know that. You have to be aware that whatever, no matter what you plan to do in the kingdom of God, you're gonna attract opposition. Nehemiah talked about Nehemiah last time. Of when he saw the walls of Jerusalem crumbling 1,000 miles away. He decided to make a trip, even though he had seen a high position to be a cupbearer of the king. He decided to go 1,000 miles away to just go and restore the walls of Jerusalem. And while he was still on the way, there was an assault that was sent out from the kingdom of the enemy in form of Tobias and Sanballat. And they came to discourage him. Why should you rebuild the wall? And they tried even to organize a warfare until when the children of Israel came together and they were given the mission. See, the thing is, when you have the mission, you have to be prepared. Amen? We have to be ready for the assault. In fact, the Bible says that Nehemiah armed them and he gave them weapons of war so that they would build with one hand while with one hand they would carry the weapons. It is going to get to that point, let me tell you, church. You know? You may not really, literally carry an AK-47, but you can be armed with prayer. You might be building, say, in the name of Jesus, I come against every demonic activity that has been released from hell. In the name of Jesus, this work is going to stand. This work, my brother, is going to succeed. In the name of Jesus, you are praying and you're rebuilding and encouraging them while you're praying and fighting the enemy. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Moving forward will involve prayer and warfare. It's warfare. And half the children of Israel were armed. And they were building with one hand and carried weapons with another. You should expect opposition. And today, we are going to see the last item, forgetting the past. The past will hinder us from moving forward. The past will do what? Will hinder us from moving forward. The past is good. Past is good because it carries with us memories of things, especially when the past, you know, carried some good memories about things that happened, you know, nice things that happened to us. You know, I remember when I was a young kid, I had good friends. By the way, yesterday, this is just a by the way. Did you see that article on CNN that said a chief thwarts a robbery through Twitter? Do you know, let me tell you, man, I went and clicked into that picture. That guy was my boyhood friend. He was like the best friend of mine. I wonder, he became a chief. He was my friend. I was telling Muruti, you know, this guy, we did everything with him. And I was surprised. He's the chief that used Twitter to thwart robbery. Anyway, I just thought of telling you that. I mean, I was really surprised when I clicked on that article and I'm seeing his picture there and I forgot that he became a chief. So the past will bring good memories, but some past will never carry some good memories. Praise be to God. And that's why we need to be very careful how we deal with the past. And from our article here, I mean, from our theme scripture, we were talking about, look on verse number 13 and Philippians chapter number 3, 8, 13. The Bible says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own. But one thing I do, one thing Paul determined to do was forgetting what lies behind and straining forward towards what lies ahead. Why this scripture has been put up here, brothers and sisters, is because the moment we make a decision to follow the Lord, there's going to be opposition. Serving the Lord is a difficult endeavor. If the Lord has given you a call in ministry, it is not easy. Especially because in ministry, you have to deal with people. Amen? People are the most difficult creatures ever created on the face of the earth to deal with. Everybody had a problem with people. Jesus had a problem with the people, dealing with the Pharisees, dealing with different kinds of people. His disciples, he wanted them to train them, and yet they could not even understand him. You know, sometimes they have studied with him for 3 years, and then a guy, just a disciple, just said, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. The Lord had explained himself very clearly that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. There's no need for you to just desire to see the Father, because you have seen the Father when you have seen me. And yet when he is just about to ascend, you know, one of his disciples, was it Philip? He asked him, show us the Father and we'll be contented. You know, I mean, dealing with people is very, very difficult. You'd wish that somebody would have a ministry. There's no ministry to animals, because animals will never give you stress. You know, animals always love one another. If you have two puppies, they love one another. They like to play. There's no problem. But unfortunately, we don't have a ministry to animals. Oh, I've been given a ministry to minister to these goats. No. You will always be given ministry to deal with people. So dealing with people, you have to be ready, because men and women of God, you have to deal with stress. You have to deal with what? Shortcomings, discouragements, because they have been created in the image and likeness of God. Dealing with people is not easy. Somebody say amen. And that's the ministry that the Lord has given us. So the past, when you are in ministry, there's bound to be things that discouraged you. There's bound to be things that would cause you to give up. There's going to be people who are going to discourage you, say bad things about you. And there's a tendency for you to look back. And if you look back too long, you might even forget the doors of opportunity that the Lord has prepared you ahead. Sometimes we dwell so much on the past and even precious memories. We just dwell, oh God, I'm so thankful for this that you did. Oh, thank you for doing this for me. And we dwell in that celebratory moment long enough, forgetting that the Lord wants us to be progressive. The Lord did it. Now focus on the future. Look ahead, because there are other doors that are ready and open. And if you only focus on that door that was closed, the Lord closed it. He did it for you. Celebrate. It is over. Look ahead. There's other ministry that is coming up. Isaiah. The Lord reveals himself to Isaiah. He saw the Lord. And it's not that Isaiah was doing bad. He was prophesying and speaking the word of the Lord. But a time has come for Isaiah to launch into another dimension. And I have to reveal to him who he is. Isaiah, oh, alas. Wow, geez. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Lord says, oh yeah, that's exactly what I wanted you to know, because the ministry that I'm just about, the door that you're just to get into, it would require an equivocal commitment to what I'm telling you to do. And so I have to patch your mouth so that as you get in there, you're bound to find things that are going to discourage you, but I want you to know that you're going there with clean lips. Only words that build, words that encourage, you are supposed to speak. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The past will hinder us going forward. Now, open up your Bibles real quick, because we're just about to finish this. Thank you, Jesus. in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43, 15 to 19. Can somebody read it for me? Nicholas, are you there? Can you read it for me, sir? Isaiah 43, 15 to 19. Quickly, because I want to finish in the next 10 minutes. Isaiah 43, 15 to 19. Is anybody there?
I am the Lord, your Holy One.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Do not remember the what?
The former
things, yes. Do not do, yes, continue. Praise be to God. Up to there, Pastor. See, the Lord here, first of all, the Lord, the Bible, Isaiah talks about the magnificence of the Lord, his greatness, his ability to do the impossible. Amen? In other words, he's saying, there is nothing that I cannot do. I was able to destroy the chariots of fire that pursued the children of Israel. I'm the God, Lord Almighty. Praise be to God. And then he explains here, Isaiah explains here, and he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Praise the Lord. Do not dwell on the what? On the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. And do not perceive. Now it springs up. You do not perceive it. I am making a way in the desert. Oh my goodness. And streams in the wasteland. Let me tell you, church. A time comes in ministry when you're so discouraged and you think there's not going to be any way in this area. You're looking on your left, you're looking on your right, you're looking on the front, in front of you, or the back. You cannot see any solution. But the Lord has explained to us that he is the Lord God Almighty. He can do the impossible. That which you think is impossible is not within reach before our God. Hallelujah. And he is telling us that while you are involved in ministry, there are things that are going to hurt you, whether you like it or not. And it is not if those things will come, it is when they are going to come. You might be experiencing a smooth time right now, but wait a minute. Because very, very soon you're going to experience You're going to experience a hurdle. You're going to get to a point whereby you want to jump over, but you're discouraged. When you look at what things have happened in the past, you might be discouraged. But the Lord is telling you, do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the things that discouraged you. For I am doing a new thing. Every single morning, praise be the Lord. The steadfast of the Lord is what? There's that song that we sing. I was telling my wife to remind me about that song this month. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies far to us. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is the faith. God is a God of new things, new beginnings. The fact that you faltered yesterday, the fact that there were things, people say things, bad things against you, forget the past, forgive them and forget and search ahead. Moving forward, we have to make a determined effort to forget the past. Hallelujah. And I know this is easily said than done. But that is exactly what the Lord is telling us. Forget the past. Do not dwell on it. Let me tell you. When you dwell on bad things that happen to you, do you know what happens? It invites worry. The demons are your cheerleaders because they want you to dwell there. The Lord may have created another door, but just because your mind completely is swallowed up in this, why did this sister do this to me? Why did this brother did this to me? Why did my wife do this to me? Why did my mother even call me that name? 20 years you're still complaining about a word. Your mother called you a cow, and you're still dwelling on that. And the door has opened for you to know that you're not a cow.
It opened actually 15 years ago, and you're still doing it. Why did they call me a cow? Dwelling on the past, things that your parents maybe, a teacher may have said against you, you're still holding on those things. I don't amount to anything. Who told you that you don't amount to anything? Look forward. Look open, lift up your head and look forward and see the wide gate that is open, because God wants you to usher into that door and experience the newness of life, because his mercies are new every morning. It might be a thing that you did long time ago and you've been held captive by that thing. It might be a child out of wedlock. It might be something that you did and you feel like you cannot even forgive yourself. I am here to tell you, church, open up your mind, open up your eyes and see the door that is open before you. Glory be to Jesus. See the door that the Lord has opened for you. The Lord is telling us, I will bring a new thing every morning. I have newness of life. Oh, glory to Jesus. Tell the past that the past, I know what I did and I know it was wrong, but I am not going to stay there. I have seen things to do. I have people to see. I have things to accomplish. I choose to see this open door and I'm going to walk on it regardless of what happened to me, because his mercies are new every morning. The fact that I may falter this morning, the fact that I may be involved in a scandal today, doesn't mean that tomorrow I won't be able to stand up for a righteous person. May fall 7 times, but in every, glory to Jesus. Don't put yourself down. Don't put yourself down, man. Yeah, it may have happened. Yes, I know it happened. So what is the devil up to telling you that it happened? It happened, yeah. It did happen. And people really were really disappointed. But you know what? It is time. Because God is calling us to move forward. We are not going to leave you. Because God addressed the children of Israel not as in singularity, but he spoke about the whole children of Israel. And I want Israel to accomplish this. So we need you. You are significant in that whole team. So if you dwell on your past, we'll be going and we'll be realizing, oh, where is Sister so-and-so? They are still held up in their past. And now it is struggles to make us go back to come and pick you up and put you on our shoulder and carry you so that we can usher you to the door that is open. Oh, glory to Jesus. The Lord is telling us, do not dwell on your past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing. You may not have been a mathematician, but who knows what would happen tomorrow. You might wake up and be presented with a mathematics paper and you might pass it, because God is doing a new thing. Do not dwell on what Mwalimu Ndegwa told you, that you could not even add 1 plus 1, because God is doing a new thing today. Hallelujah. Don't cry over that. Oh, God, I've never been good in this. Why am I doing it? Come on, quit crying. God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I really want to do this business. But you know, when I remember stop crying. God is doing a new thing. God will connect you, give you divine connections so that you'll be able to articulate what you can do. Let me tell you, as long as you can really focus on God, you'll be amazed what you can do. Because when you gather your strength enough and knowing that you're going in the name of the Lord, you can walk into any office and tell them, you know what, Jehovah God sent me. Because God is doing a new thing. How many of you sometimes felt like you could not do it, but just because you gathered yourself with a little encouragement from a brother or a little encouragement from a sister, you went through and you wondered, wow, I did this? And if I can do that, you can still do another, and you can still do another, and you still can do another. Because God is doing a new thing. Oh, you guys, he is doing a new thing. Thank you, Jesus. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? This is what the Lord is asking. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. You might be in a desert place and you might be looking all around you. As far as your eyes can see, you're seeing sand dunes. You're seeing wind blowing. There can never be an oasis anywhere within your vision. But let me tell you, God can create an oasis for you. I said God can create an oasis for you. You might be in a desert place, but God can create an oasis for you, because he is doing a new thing. God can cause rain just because you are his beloved and he wants to come and show off. Somebody say, God will show off. You know what show off means? Bragging. Yeah, amen. I'm the father to this guy. I'm the father to this.
You see what he is driving today? It's just because of me. Yeah. You know, God will brag you, show off because of you. Hallelujah. I'm making a new way in the desert streams in the wasteland. Remember about, I'm just about to conclude, Judges 6 talks about the mighty man of warrior, Gideon. Gideon, there was a war. Listen, very, very quickly. There was war between the children of Israel and the Midianites. And Gideon was threshing. The Bible says that an angel of the Lord came and found Gideon threshing wheat under an oak tree because he didn't want the Midianites to come and take it. And the angel of the Lord came up and said, "Hey, what's up, you mighty man of valor?" You know? And Gideon said, "Wow, the Lord has strengthened you." Amen. You know? Immediately we see the character, what was really boiling in Gideon. Gideon said, "How can you say the Lord is with us? These Midianites complaining. These Midianites, has the Lord not, our forefathers promised that the Lord will always fight for us? What are they doing? They are completely finishing us. They are taking our food. They are killing our people. And then you are coming to tell me that the Lord is gonna come and strengthen me?" The Lord told him, "You are a mighty man of valor." And then Gideon told him, "The clan, I wish you knew, angel. Angel, you don't know anything about me. I came from a very poor of the poorest. I was the last. Our clan was insignificant. The last ones. They didn't even have seats in their home, sitting on stones. Have you visited homes where people sit on stones? They don't have no seat. They don't have anything to cook. They use actually mikebe kambo. I've been in a home where they use mikebe as plates. They use cans. You know, they don't have no plates. I'm the least of the least. How can I do this? The best. You're looking at where your background, you're looking at everything your parents did was a drunkard. You know, you never had anything. You know, when you bought, your father bought the first bicycle, it was even, you actually rode that bicycle to be known within the whole village that you bought a bicycle. I mean, you are the last of the last. If you had a dress, just a single dress your dad bought for you from Walmart, you'd go show up to everybody because you're used to putting on tattered clothes. The least of the least. But the Lord God, oh my God, he is looking for somebody who is weak enough so that he can put his strength in there and so that he can be glorified. Are you listening to me? I'm the least of my clan is the least. I cannot do this. And eventually, the Lord strengthened Gideon. And let me tell you, Gideon went out on assault for the Lord. Praise be to God. There's many instances when you can be discouraged. Gideon said, "Pardon me, my Lord." Gideon replied, "But if the Lord is with us, why? I told you about that." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," this is what he said. The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. Do not look down on yourself. You can strike the Midianites also." Listen to what Moses said in Exodus chapter number 3. The Lord calls on Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel. And listen what Moses said. Exodus 3, chapter number, verse number 11. "But Moses said to God," can you imagine somebody addressing God like this? "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" In other words, he was looking down on himself. Exodus 4:10, he continues. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past," dwelling in the past. "I've never been eloquent either on the past. So God, when you are sending me, are you really making a reference of what I have not been able to do?" Have we been in that position? The Lord is asking you to do something and you remember how you failed. And you say, "No, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be embarrassed because I remember the last time people really beat me down. They castigated me. But the Lord is doing a new thing, church. He's doing a new thing." And Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am I'm slow of speech and tongue." Exodus chapter number 6, verse 12. "But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me," reasons now, eh? Reasons why you don't want to go and serve the Lord. "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would you think that Pharaoh would listen to me? Since I speak with faltering lips." Praise be to God. The Lord wanted Moses to go and tell him, "Get out of Egypt.
It doesn't matter how you say it. Even if you're slow of speech, even if you have an accent, speak it. Praise the God, I am here to tell you that Jesus, he will save you. Speak it. It is not the language. You know, sometimes, you know, we are in a place we want to speak on ourselves, but when you remember how your English is so broken up, you don't want to mention anything. You know, I've been sent here to come and just, and then they're saying, pardon me, can I have somebody who can speak English here? Have you been in a place where people say, can I have somebody who speaks English? I was in a customer service job one time, and now every time I was actually booking flights for animals, you know, through the American Airlines. And let me tell you guys, man, the moment I was just a new arrival here, every guy that I talked to, they said, can I have somebody who speaks English? And I wondered, what is, am I speaking? Is it really Kikuyu or English or Ki-English, Kikuyu-English? They call it Spanglish, maybe it's Kikuyu-English. Man, it doesn't matter. Most God wanted to God wanted Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, my people must go. If that's what it's going to take, say it, because it's the Lord who spoke it to you. Amen? The last one, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter number 1, listen to this. This is very powerful. Jeremiah was a prophet. I don't even know why God says this to prophets. The words of God, the word of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Joachim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year, son of when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me saying, in verse number 4, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What is God telling him? That I knew. God is telling us that God knows you. He knows you even before you are formed. Before your mother, Baba came and Daddy came together, he knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet. God, man, I love this. I appointed, before you were born, before you were even formed, I appointed you. You have been appointed to serve the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Before you were formed, before you were even formed up, before those two cells came together, God knew that you would be, and he appointed. My God, he appointed me. That's why you need to walk tall. Knowing that what when you serve God, serve like you're serving him, because you've been appointed. Glory be to Jesus. And every prophet says, alas, listen, verse 6, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. This is the prophet. The Lord has already told him that I appointed you. I did all these things before you were formed. And now he's telling me, I want to do this. And the prophet Jeremiah said, alas, like, geez, wow, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. Listen to what the Lord says in verse number 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say that I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. What reason do you have today? I cannot serve God because I'm not married yet. Lord, I just got married. I need to have a little bit honeymoon, then I can serve you. Lord, I'm too old. I'm married now. I've served you many, many years. I'm quitting. I'm retiring. Lord, I'm so busy in my work, so I have no time. What reason do you do not tell me that? That's exactly what the Lord told Jeremiah. Do not say that I am young. Praise be to God. We have to serve God in spite of the things that we go through in every day. Hallelujah. Now, these are past quotes. I got this from the internet, and I believe they're going to bless you. The past has a tremendous ability to hinder a bright future. That was noted by an anonymous writer. The past has a tremendous ability to hinder a bright future. There's another one here. The brightest future will always be based on a forgotten past. I love that. The brightest future will always be based on a forgotten past. You can't go on well in life until you let go of your past failures and heartaches. I love that. When the door of happiness closes, this is what I was telling you. When the door of happiness closes, another one opens. But oftentimes we look so long at the closed door that we don't see the one which has been opened for us. Is that not true? When you make a mistake, don't look back at it too long. Take the rest, Take the reason of the thing into your mind and then look forward. Mistakes are lessons of wisdom. The past cannot be changed. The future is yet in your power. And this was written by Phyllis Botton. Success comes from good judgment. Good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment. I love that. Francis Bacon. Whenever you make a mistake or get knocked down by life, don't look back at it too long. Mistakes are life's way of teaching you. Your capacity, I love this, your capacity for occasional blunders is inseparable from your capacity to reach your goals. No one wins them all, and your failures, when they happen, are just part of your growth. Shake off your blunders. How will you know your limits without an occasional failure? Never quit. Your turn will come also. That was written by Mandima. And the last one here is, there are no mistakes. The events we bring upon ourselves, no matter how unpleasant, are necessary in order to learn what we need to learn. Whatever steps we take, they are necessary to reach the places we have chosen to go. I love that also by Richard Bach. Beloved saints, that's the end of my series. And I believe that we have been blessed. We are not going to dwell on the past because the future is in. We have power to handle and to change and to alter our future. But we cannot change what has already happened to us. The Lord says, is telling us to forget our future and forge ahead. May we all close our eyes as we pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you. I thank you because we are going to take regard of your word, Father, that you have spoken to us these few weeks, Lord, about moving forward. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are going to make a determined effort, Lord, even to pursue you, to seek you, and to know that we have a privilege, Lord, that we have acquired of even knowing you, Father, and to progressively forge an intimate relationship with you, where, God, everything within us is going to be flashed on before you, Father, and we are able to repent and turn and be ready for the next season of operation, Father. I just thank you because you're not going to be people who practice empty religion. We are going to be people who search the scriptures and apply ourselves to it in the name of Jesus. We are not going to be like those Pharisees and the scribes who loved loading it over the people, Father, and they never wanted to do it themselves. I thank you, Father, because we know and we have learned that you only has called us, Father, and that, God, we're going to respond to the call of ministry and, Father God, to determine the function of our purpose even while we are in the body of Christ. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I give you glory. Thank you, Father, because we have learned also that we are going to be opposed, Father. As we serve you, as we carry forward, move forward, I know there's going to be opposition. I know, Father, there are many examples that we can pull out from the Word of God, like in Nehemiah, where he learned how to rebuild the walls, but he, in spite of the opposition, he continued and he pursued his goal to serve you and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because it's going to cost us something, Father. Yes, my God, yes, you want us to be mature, Lord, but in the book of James, it tells us, Father, rejoice when you're faced with different kinds of trials and tribulations, for the work of perseverance has to be complete so that we can be mature. You're looking for mature brothers and sisters who can carry the responsibility. I thank you because you've also reminded us, Lord, that we need to forget the past, Lord. You're not God who dwells on the past. For you are a God who gives us newness every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. And regardless and in spite of our failures, we are going to focus ahead, Lord, straining and pressing forward towards our mark of perfection. I thank you, Heavenly Father. This journey will begin, Father, and whatever good and pleasant it is, Father, that we can think of each other, Lord, we are going to put it to practice so that you be glorified even in this local body. I thank you because this body is going to be functional in the name of Jesus. By the power of your spirit, Lord, you're going to empower each and every one of us to stay the course and not give up in the name of Jesus. I speak your word over these people, Lord. I pray that this word will enlighten them and usher them into greatness in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you and we lift up your name. While being in that mode of prayer, you might be here, you might not have surrendered your life to the Lord. I want to give you this opportunity. You've never given your life to Jesus and you want him to come and make a dwelling in your heart. Just lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. You might be in this congregation, you might be sick in your body, and you might be needing a miracle from the Lord. Lift up your hand. We're also going to trust God with you this morning. Amen. Is there anybody? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I bless you, Lord. As we later go home, Lord, I pray that you shall be with us, Lord, this week. It's going to be a powerful week in the name of Jesus. I speak divine connections, Lord, and favor upon favor over the children of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. Amen. Amen.